Welcome back to Brass Stacks. You're on the air. Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm so sorry. It's 12:08. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can I ask a question, please?
Go right ahead.
I have just returned from the government service last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying X amount of money for me for a pension. They did not write a letter or nothing. But here or there, I find it cut. And I went up there and they say that they put on the Minister of Finance or pension money on my pension, so it have to be taken out. How can that be when I just retire out of a service and without a letter they did not notify me nor nothing like that? Can I get any kind of information on that?
I really can't give you that information here because I
would need to know more of the facts, but
one of the things that you would have to do is normally you seek some sort of legal representation in cases like this. But I'm wondering here, and I don't want to discuss it too much because I don't want to expose your identity. But I'm wondering here, were you one of the people who thought you would have been getting two pensions?
No, please.
You always knew you would only be getting one pension.
One pension.
Plus the NAS.
Probably, right, yeah.
Right.
But okay. What I'm saying is this. They did not notify me that they are going to cut it. All they told me that they sent out letters,
mm-hmm.
and I was warned that get the Minister of Finance put on this old age pension money and automatically that put on our money and they have to take it back out. How can that be? When they just retire out of government service, I don't even know what it is but the old age pension money.
But this is coming through the NAS, so somebody there should be able to sit you down and explain that to you effectively. Mm-hmm. I mean, that needs to be done. You cannot just operate like that. Somebody needs to explain to you. If the person who called and said this to you, that person or someone from that department needs to simply explain it to you, because there are a number of things that happen that I find that, you know, there are a number of regulations that have been put in place. And nobody even bothers to explain to people, like everybody's just supposed to know.
That's my point.
It's very insensitive, actually. Mm-hmm. It's very, very insensitive because most people would don't have a problem with most things in life as long as you explain to them what you're doing.
What is the problem?
You know? And I find that here we don't, that is, I guess, is one of my pet peeves. Here we do try not to. We tend not to explain ourselves because we are in authority, so we can do what we want.
What we like.
That's how it always comes over to me. And it's really not good enough. It really isn't.
I believe that's not good enough. So then what I'm saying is that if I had to go to the Minister of Finance and ask a question, no, you will hear that I was a bad person. I was that. Not even a letter even explaining how I'm going to break down, how I am going to receive my pension. But cut it off. I wouldn't even see how much. And then telling me, but one then put on the Minister of Finance old age pension on mine, so they have to take it back out. How can that be? And I just come out the government service.
Mm-hmm. But what kind of percentage you're talking about was the cut?
I don't really. What I am saying, they never even explain.
Okay.
You never even send a letter.
But that is the thing that's really wrong. And the one thing I would tell you, you're saying Minister of Finance. Don't forget that he deals with policy. And therefore it would be something that he would have said at some point, and something that would have been put in place, some regulation that would have been put in place. But it is really up to the functionaries, the people who are working in the bureaucracy, to ensure that they inform the public, or certainly their clients like yourself, about these new measures and that how would they impact you. And that is is what should have been done. So please don't blame the Minister of Finance.
No, okay? No, I'm not blaming him. Don't blame him. Listen, I'm not blaming. I said
we can blame him for the downgrades, but we can't blame him for this.
No.
All right? Please, don't blame him.
No, I'm saying if I had to go to him then, you will hear somebody say, I shouldn't go to he first. I should. But how can you do people like that, mm-hmm. people so, when you have not even sent a letter pulling down what you was to get and all. I know that I am not to get two pensions. I know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for sure.
Yeah.
But just checking off, I mean a big amount, you know. And what? Who to go to? For the same
But if it's coming from NAS, somebody mm-hmm. there, they have a communications person there who should be able to explain this to you. Because this is really not good enough.
I do believe it's not good enough.
And unfortunately, when I hear one person call like this or one person writing on such matters, generally speaking, there'll be other people who are also impacted by this, but who are just, they're just so fed up, they can't be bothered to say anything.
And that is not good enough. You sit down longer than they talk to you.
Mm,
you know?
My point is
that they should have sent a letter.
Yes.
Explain it to me. I ain't live in St. Lucia. Them say they send no letters. No, I live in Barbados. This is months now.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it worried me because how come that I have not received a letter, but the pension is cut?
Yeah. All right. Well, my dear, as I said, I think you should go back to the NAS and try to get on to one of the managers of the section there. And get a proper explanation to this whole thing, okay? Have a great day. This is Brass Stacks. Good morning. Good afternoon, sorry.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, man. Sorry, it's my
sorry
mistake.
Sorry about that. Uh-huh. Yes, indeed, it is afternoon. In fact, it's 15 minutes after noon. Sanka?
Yes.
This is Ambassador Carter.
Hey, Gabby, how are you?
I good, my brother. Uh-huh. And I just calling you on the issue concerning the Crane Beach.
Uh-huh.
Now, this guy, where the hell is he? I don't know the guy's name. But we had an issue here already at Skeets Bay, and he had to run. But he thinks that he can come to Barbados, decide that he's in tourism, decides that he can put his power. Now, we had to deal with sandals 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and we make them pull the chairs back. Despite all those press reports that wasn't quite accurate, they had to pull the chairs back, and they will forever keep those chairs back where they belong, because the beach belongs to us. We don't mind sharing with tourists. We love tourists, and we're glad to see them, and they help the economy. But when it comes to the rights of Barbadians on our beaches, they have to bow to us. And I am saying that crane, I am going to send you, Sanka, a picture of where they have their chairs. Right down on the beach, and they're using this old, antiquated, for lack of a better term, law that states that the property owners have the right to bring their property down to the high water mark. But I am challenging that law because I have no respect for any law at all unless it has justice, and that law don't have no justice. So therefore, we are organizing a big campaign against the Crane. So if he's listening, tell him that he has never seen the power of Barbados exhibited before. And if they think that Jack was big, he would got to see what this one would look like. Jack is going to look like a little stream against a tsunami if he continues. If he don't move those chairs, I'm going to make a call to him myself. But apart from that, I'll be very cordial with him, and I will explain to him how he is violating not the law. He's in the law. What he's violating is the spirit of the law. And therefore, I have no qualms in saying that man will feel the power of the people of Barbados. And I know that I have my fellow ambassadors in on this. But more importantly, I have the people of St. Philip and the people of Barbados on this. He cannot come and take up the Crane Beach. The Crane Beach doesn't belong to him.
When is this protest, Gabby?
We are organizing it, and we will announce the date later. But we are organizing it, and we are not going small. We are not going easy. And we are appealing to all Barbadians, bring your chairs and put it down on the Queen Beach. Bring your chairs. We will go and have our chairs down there on that beach, in and amongst the tourists, and hug them up and love them, because we got to let them know that the beach belongs to us. The beach belongs to me.
Well, Gabby, I can tell you, you're getting a tremendous amount of support here right now on our WhatsApp chat. People are saying, Jack on the attack. True, Gabby. And they're all, people so far are all welcoming this initiative.
Thank you very much, Sanka. You know, like, there's nothing, not because I wrote this song and all that, there's nothing that hurts me more than to see people trying to privatize our beaches. We died for these beaches, buddy. Most of us have family that are connected to the sea. That we make a living from. We go down there for pleasure. We go there for recreation. We cannot let these people come from wherever they come from and decide that they can run us off our beaches. That will not happen under my watch. My dead body, buddy.
It really seems, though, that this issue seems to be some struggle between.
Remember, we were here from Keys
Bay already, you know. Yeah, I remember that. But this issue in Crane seems to be a struggle between Mr. Doyle, who's from Crane Beach, and Mr. Melnick. There seems to be some struggle going on there, and the beach vendors seem to be caught in the middle, and they're basically collateral damage that's taking place.
My brother, I don't even think it just ends there. Mm-hmm. This, to my mind, is a concerted effort by certain people who own certain properties on this island that are beach properties to try in a very clandestine manner to try to have certain beaches as private beaches. I want to make it clear to Butch Stewart and whoever supporting him, do not try that foolishness again at Dover. Don't try it. This is not a dog issue. This is a real national issue. This is about the beaches and us and our right to those beaches. This is not Jamaica. They can do their foolishness in Jamaica and privatize and put fence out in the sea itself. This is not a rumor. This is a fact that sort of have property where they put the fence not just on the beach but in the bloody water to prevent the locals from having access to those beaches. And furthermore, even when they have access, they have to pay. They have to pay to use the beaches in Jamaica. That will never happen here over my dead body, sir.
All right. Gabby, I can tell you right now, because we have to break for another ad, but I can tell you that while you were speaking, there's about 15 or 16 different WhatsApp responses already in support of what you're saying. People are saying, I go in my bikini with my chair. I
yes.
With you, Gabby.
Bring your chair.
Hi, I am listening.
We're going to announce the date when we will be going up there.
I am listening.
Bring your chair.
You're getting a lot of support here. It is quite interesting. I've never seen this WhatsApp light up in the way that it has.
Not necessarily with me, but I would like to hear the people's voices calling you. And having what they feel in their heart expressed, because I know a lot of Barbadians are like me. I have been listening to Brass Stacks, all the calling programs for years. I never had, except for in the Calypso season one or two times, I had called over the years. But when you see me take up my phone and I call you, Sanka, who is my brother till I die, when you see me take up my phone and I call you, and if it was Dennis Johnson, it would be the same thing. If it was Corey or whoever, David Ellis, when you see me take up my phone and I call you on an issue, it is not about Gabby. It is not about any personal thing. Mm-hmm. This is a national issue. Mm-hmm. And I speak in as the cultural ambassador. I speak in as a man who loved the beach, as one of the best swimmers this country ever had, by the way. And who really have a lot of family and friends who are in the fishing business. Mm-hmm. My brother goes fishing with plastic bags, brother. Every day, right? And that's a body there issue. But I am saying to you, those beaches are ours, and we have to protect them for our people and for generations to come so they can feel free to come on our beaches. How dare them? I want you to put that picture in every listener's phone to show what the crane has done.
All right,
they have not just decided. It's right down on the beach.
Yeah, we're trying to get it. I think we have a copy of the picture. But, Gabby, we got
to
go now.
I want to send it to you.
But thank you, Gabby. And they can tell you that you have, as I said, I've never seen this this WhatsApp later with so many people coming in out in just a short space of time, just in support. So I think people are looking forward. They just want to know the date and the time, and they'll be there. Gabby, thank you so very much for calling. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. It's 12:46. That last call from the mighty Gabby, cultural ambassador, about the whole incident on Crane Beach, Brady has ignited a real debate on what is happening with the beaches in Barbados. So I'll just read a couple of messages before I go back to the telephones. This one is saying, tell the management of the National Cultural, the NCC, the National Conservation Commission, basically to get some testicular fortitude and fix the matter at Crane once and for all. Another one here says, where are the politicians in all of this? I was on Dover Beach protesting, and I feel, this is Dover Beach protesting last weekend, where sandals, there was a problem there with sandals on the beach. And I saw I felt as if it were a case of a few people fighting the wrongs of a big hotelier. Where are the politicians? I am hearing nothing from them. Where is the minister responsible for the NCC who looks after beaches? Nothing is being said. We have another one here. Playing devil's advocate here. When the Crane bought equipment to stop seaweed and cleaned it up every day as a landowner, claiming their watermark right to protect their investment, everyone was happy and gave them kudos, but all of a sudden we have an issue with them for aggressively protecting their investment. I personally don't like the fact that that the Crane restricts access and moment on the beach, but one has to sympathize with the Crane after they do so much when the NCC and the average Barbadians did so little. At the end of the day, I feel as if the Crane has a sense of entitlement, not only from cleaning the beach, but because of the high watermark rule. So those are some opinions on the situation at the Crane. We go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sanka Price. Now, can I just explain something? Because otherwise I'll get a little bit tied up. Now, I talk about the same thing on Monday with Mr. Ellis, but the trouble is, it's the politician who let them get away with what they are doing. You understand? When Mr. Gabby said about Jamaica and sandals, he's telling 110% true. Sandals want to go into all the other Caribbean islands and do as they like. Right? Or they like. You see? And sorry about that enthusiasm. Now, Mr. Busy Williams' wife have a spot at the airport. Now sandals go and take it away. And even after they spend $20,000 to do it, he get the right to go and take it and put what he wants in there. You see what happened? The government, you know, give them this opportunity to do as they like. Don't forget, when people are talking about sandals, I think it's wrong what he's doing, 100%. But I must tell you, he did not come to Barbados. The government of Barbados went to him. That's what he said on CBC TV. They come to him, and he get what he want. He get 40 or 50 years. This man can do as he like, and there's nobody to stand up to him because of all the concession he get. And I think it's completely wrong. He do as he like in Jamaica, but he shouldn't come and do as he like in other people's country. And that's why I am proud of the gentleman in Antigua and Barbuda, Prime Minister.
Gaston Brown.
I am really proud of him standing up to that bully. Because he wants to go in every West in this country and dictate and get what he wants. And he get exactly what he wants in this country. 40 years. And then he come and show the lady out of the airport. Now she have to, I don't know she going to manage because she used to use that. Now she chose that she can't use it no more. Because and the beach, you know what, Mr. Price, goes down to Paynes Bay, not at Paynes Bay Fish Market, near the petrol station, and they will show you to walk in the little alleyway to go on the beach. You have to walk in the sea. My grandchildren was here, and I dropped them off and said, go to there. My granddaughter nearly get drowned because she didn't know what was happening, and the wave come up and lick her. Because we used to walk along the sand. You cannot walk along the sand no more down in that beach. You have to go, you know, they come in here and they bring the few cents and they take what they want and they get. I blame all government because if they stick to the rules and said, no, you certain part of the beach is not yours. It's Bajan, they're born, Barbajan, born and bred in this country and they're supposed to use the beach. But you know what with Bajan? They don't stand up for the right. They don't, sir. They want other people to do it for them. Like Mr. Gabby now come and do it, he will get a crowd. But let one single man try to do it. He won't even get two monkeys to come along with him. You understand? The monkeys will run away and go in the bush. You see, Bajan don't stand up. I'm scared. Someone going to know my voice. Not me. My daughter work here. My son work there. The Bajan must learn to say enough is enough. I am going to go on the beach. And when Mr. Gabby ready, even though my back is hurting me sometimes, I will go on that beach as well. Oh, yeah, I'm big enough to take up about 4 space. You understand? So I'll be down there. Okay?
All right, bye-bye. Thank you for calling. This nonsense of private beaches raises its ugly head every now and again. Now that our economy is under pressure, they feel it's the right time to seek to control our beaches. Ambassador Gabby, we Bajans are with you all the way. Let's take another call. This is Brass Tax. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon, sir. You're on the air.
Sound Price?
It is.
This is Mohammed Nasser. How are you, man?
Hi, I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty good. I'm very good. I'm super good. I just listened to Gabby. Mm-hmm. I want to say something to Gabby and to a lot of our black people like me and Gabby and so. We are too divided even though we have one policy. The day that foolishness happened at the Crane, I called David Commission. I said, David, we must shut down the Crane. Let's mobilize and shut the Crane down. David never into the laws and things, which is all right, and show me which laws must change and things. But he didn't say, he's against what he said. But that's what I'm saying. Me and David and Bobby Clark, they had a building in Barbados at the Clan worth $112 million. And they had a private beach. They said that. And we went down there, demonstrate, and the people opened the place and let us go in. They didn't want us to come in, but we went in. So there was this little rock thing behind there they call a little beach. And I said at that meeting that when we get a government that gets some bulldozers and start from one end of Barbados and bulldoze everything off the beaches to the next end and make sure it's a clear path that people can walk on freely, I know we have private beaches. So you would notice, Mr. Price, because you're a reporter. Partly every beach where the hotels on the land is there. Private beach. Do you know that, Mr. Price? Let me tell you how this is. The high water mark is right up to where even if the sea go about 20 feet or a mile. That's where the high water mark is, you know. The high water mark is up to where the beach will come in a high tide. Do you know that, Mr. Price?
Mm-hmm.
So even when the sea go about 100, 2,000 feet, you know you're still on people's property. Because you are walking in the high water war. So, all this got to change. I want to say this, everything in the but when I hear Gabby just now, I want to say to Gabby that we got to mobilize our resources. We can't do it individually. I call Commissioner and Commissioner and all you're supposed to mobilize, which would include Gabby. And I went further. I said the Crane should be shut down. The people that were in the Crane should not work there. We will have to find work for them. We have to find a way to send a message to this country that black people still floating, the corpse might not be floating, but the spirit still floating in the sea, for that journey from Africa down here to turn me into slaves. And we got to understand that we cannot give up anymore. So I want to say this before I want to tell you something about something quick that might be important to you, but I want to say this here. We had Sir Grantley Adams and Errol Barr, and they set an example for us for 50 years, because it's 51 now. If they could come back and see what these new breed politicians have done to us, they will not believe it. So we have to get now another team of people to set 50 years from now. But that 50 years must not be set by our politicians saying so. We must be involved in the 50 years that we are planning for the next 50 years. Because if we don't, Mr. Price, I don't care what you or anybody say, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, if you have any children, future is in jeopardy in this country. Now, I want this, and I tell Gabby, you know me. If there's one man that will put his life on the line for justice for black people in this country, and there's more one, the man is Muhammad Nasser. There's nothing they can do to me that can bring fear in my heart against the injustice that's done to this country to black people. The only thing that bothers me is I beginning to worry that we might got some kind of defect, and we got to find a way to answer it. So before I tell you a quick thing there, you remember Mandela? Mm-hmm. Remember Mandela?
Yeah.
Mandela was an attorney at law, right?
Yeah.
So 27 years he spent in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But he was an attorney at law. These minority people, these white people, got a way of training and educating all black people. Let them get all the degrees that we need to want. But when they're done, they still treat them like they didn't go to school. So if Mandela, if South Africa could have been taken over by black people like this here, and it could be run over by black people, it means that they were always trained and educated to run a country. Otherwise, they're going to run it. Are you wrong, Mr. Price?
Mm-hmm. Take your point.
So what we do, you know, we sit down, we're going to be doctors, lawyers, all that foolishness, show off, think we're somebody, three generations from now, you did nothing. And we got to get into black educated, so-called educated people, because that's all they're so-called. Because education can't tell me you're going to study degrees, become a lawyer, doctor, engineer, and then you're letting your race suffer at the hands of people because you're drinking a little whiskey. And forget that a couple of years from now, your grandchildren might not have the education ability you have, and the money you left for them will get used foolishly. So I want to explain something about education quick to you, Mr. Price.
Real quick.
And I want all the people in Barbados to get behind. Since Gabby is who published it for me, I've given it the rights to Gabby. Every Barbadian in that black, brown skin or got any kind of color in them should mobilize and let me put about 200,000 people up in St. Philip to let these people know that this country is ours. Now, today, Mr. Price, I hear you talking about vote buying and the Prime Minister party got some document or something. And I think I hear you say that he should carry it to the public account.
The DPP.
The DPP. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Price. You're an intelligent man. You're a reporter. There's not one reporter in this country that's stupid. But there might got reporters who are afraid to stand up on principle because they worry about the job. Let me ask you a question. I am a candidate, and I stand up in front of a polling booth, and somebody come out and show me something, wherever they show me. And then you, Mr. Price, going to say, I don't mean Mr. Price, huh? Anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean you.
Everybody, go ahead.
Amen. That the body showed me that they voted for me. You know how much time you're going to stand there, Mr. Price? you really understand how much money I have to pay to people to stand up there and make sure everybody can show me something. And then let me ask you something, Mr. Price. How are you going to get it? How are you going to get the document that I look at? And let me ask you a question, though. Me and you are friends like the rest, but me and you disrespect each other all the time. So I'm going to consider you as friends. If you call a phone booth, they take a $100 bill and put you home, and you call a police booth, somebody can tell me that I pay you to vote. Answer that, Mr. Price. Seriously, if you come out of a polling booth and Muhammad Nasser come and put a $100 bill in your hand, somebody can tell me that I pay you to vote, somebody owe you $100. I mean, let me be serious, Mr. Price. We cannot stop money being paid to people hoping they will vote for you. both the BLP and the DLP does it. Both the BLP and the BLP take money from the big rich people in Barbados, who they make rich. Because remember, 99% of the people in Barbados who have wealth get it from the government favors. That's not all of them, 99%. So here it is, you come out of Poland move, Mr. Price. And I said, now, I Pricey boy, you know, I had heard of you every time, man. Who are you? And then the Margaret said, man, I said, that's a pay price to after you come out to vote. You know what I'm saying? If you don't that foolish, Mr. Price, I'm trying to talk well, show good intention, show how we can develop the country, and let me move forward so people go forward with confidence that the leaders we elect are leaders that will run our country well and do good for us instead of talking a lot of foolishness about somebody, pay somebody to vote. You know what I'm saying? That's a waste of time. That Mr. Price, you was a reporter. Tell me the truth. That's a waste of time.
I really not say I understand what you're saying, but we really got to take an ad right now, so we have to take a break here. But thanks very much, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of great discussion on this whole issue because it really needs to be discussed.